It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday, January 25th. AT&T announces earnings later today, and tip top of everyone's mind will be the proposed merger with Time Warner, an $85-plus billion deal that regulators are expected to review this year. Lindsay Turrentine is the editor-in-chief of CNET.com, and I was wondering, Lindsay, if you could remind us about this deal and sort of what it's going to mean for consumers.
Well, the deal with this deal is that AT&T, which owns a lot of sort of the pipes that get the internet into your house. And AT&T wants to purchase Time Warner because Time Warner owns a lot of content. Time Warner owns CNN, Time Warner owns HBO, and some other different properties. And if AT&T is able to hold on to this content, it can experiment with ways to get that content into homes and into the hands of consumers on mobile devices in a way that's advantageous for its business.
How likely is this deal to get past regulators, especially now that we've got this new administration in office?
It's a little bit hard to say how likely it is to get through. Lawmakers on both sides have expressed concern about the deal. And the FCC, which often will look at things like this, may not get a chance to approve this particular deal, which makes it a little bit easier potentially for AT&T to get the deal through because it only has to get past the Department of Justice. And the Department of Justice is mainly concerned about monopolies. And this doesn't seem to look too much like a monopoly. That said, there's a little bit of reporting that suggests that Donald Trump, not a huge fan of CNN, is against the deal.
How is the rest of the tech industry sort of watching this merger? What are they paying attention to? What signs are they looking for here?
The tech industry is obviously interested in this because it has a lot to do with beefed up competition in some ways against the likes of Facebook, Google, and Silicon Valley companies that have really developed new ways to get content to consumers. So in some ways, Silicon Valley is sitting there thinking, well, will this help traditional broadcast, broadband, and media companies better combat the growing specter of competition from the likes of Facebook and Google and Apple? They also sort of look at this and think, well, this might not be as competitive as it seems because those new media companies really have a huge head start.
Lindsay Turrentine is editor-in-chief of CNET.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hollywood is in the middle of its award season. It's patting itself on the back season. Yesterday, the Oscar contenders were announced. Among the favorites, the musical La La Land, which picked up 14 nominations.
City of stars, are you shining just for me?
But the movie industry has other, less dance-inspiring things on its mind. When President Trump scrapped the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, this week, he also tossed out beefed-up copyright and intellectual property protections that Hollywood had rallied behind, rules that would have tried to tamp down on digital piracy. For more, we've got Rob Atkinson with us. He's president of the nonpartisan Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Adrian.
So walk me through, if you will, the intellectual property protections the TPP had included.
Well, the TPP had arguably the strongest intellectual property protections of any trade agreement the U.S. has been involved in. And it was really important because a lot of countries are essentially scofflaws when it comes to intellectual property. They steal our movies, our books, our software, our video games. And this was an agreement that would have put in place essentially U.S. level standards of protection and prosecution into force.
Tell me a little bit about sort of Hollywood's interest and input into the TPP.
Hollywood, like most content industries in the U.S., if not all, are global industries now. And unfortunately, overseas is where most of the piracy takes place. So there are a lot of really good measures in here that would have reduced piracy and would have encouraged more sales of U.S. content, which would have created more U.S. jobs. And now, at least for now, those are off the table.
Can you just spell out for me the relationship of this type of intellectual property protection and jobs?
these are industries, and so they make money, and they use that money to produce more content. So this notion that this just simply goes to the big boys and they make, you know, higher profits or big salaries for Matt Damon or whatever, that's just wrong. A lot of these revenues, in fact, the vast majority of them, will go to the people who are just working in the industry, the sound technicians, the movie technicians, the software developers. And if other countries are just stealing them, then it just there's no money to pay American workers to produce this.
If that's the case, can we expect that the Trump administration will be pushing hard on this piracy front? Do you think it's something that's top of mind for them?
Well, so far you haven't heard that it's top of mind. Many of the trade advisors for the President Trump have a background and certainly have talked about more traditional industries, steel, aluminum, lumber, these kinds of industries, more, if you will, sort of older, heavy industries. And yet there are 28 million jobs in industries in the U.S. that rely on intellectual property. So I hope the administration has a comprehensive approach to trade that looks at defending U.S. jobs in intellectual property-based industries, because that really is one of our core strengths in the world. We're, you know, we're the best in many of these industries, and it's also in the industries that are easiest to steal. It's hard to steal our steel. it's a lot easier to steal our movies or our software because they're just bits.
Rob Atkinson is president of the Nonpartisan Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Adrian.
Want to guess the most pirated movies of 2016? Deadpool, Batman v Superman, and Captain America Civil War. I'm Adrian Hill, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.